Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell. And because of some technical difficulties on my part, Tuesday night, we are now recording on Wednesday, which set up beautifully because it is Barry's birthday. Barry, happy birthday to you.
Well, thanks, St. Joe. Thanks. Appreciate it. They had a big party for me in Washington, D.C. I much appreciated that. So it's a revelry all around.
The whole world was watching. So
yes.
Congrats on the attention. Well, you celebrated the eve of your birthday by watching the Thunder and the Nuggets play. The Nuggets get a 119-101 win in Denver. It was the first game of the Thunder's second five-game road trip of the season. That's hard to already believe. Two five-game road trips at this point. But the story of this one was really kind of one we've seen so far when the Thunder plays a dominant post player. Jokic is in a class of his own, a early MVP candidate. He was terrific on Tuesday night. And basically the Thunder did not have anyone who could adequately defend him. Not many do, but Al Horford was out. Him and his wife just welcomed their fourth baby. So he's not on the road trip with the Thunder. Isaiah Roby started at center. And the Nuggets just really dominated the Thunder on the glass. They had 18 offensive rebounds. Barry, I thought the stat of the game was this. 32-3, second chance points. 32-3, and that was the big difference in this game.
Well, it got almost comical there for a while, how little the Thunder could grab a rebound. You know, the NBA does not do a good job of actually calling or monitoring offensive rebounds. They only count individual offensive rebounds. The Nuggets actually, I think it was, they gave him credit for 18, I think. Is that right?
And 18 offensive rebounds.
18 offensive rebounds. It's actually 23 they got, because if ball goes out of bounds or there's a foul or something, nobody gets credit for the rebound. But guess what? They get to keep the ball and get another shot. So the domination was ridiculous. And then I know they cleaned it up in the second half, but, you know, it was 65-52 at halftime, first possession. The Nuggets get the ball into Jokic, and he drives the basket and puts up a shot, and he misses it, and he just grabs it and lays it back in, and it's 67-52, and then that's when you knew this isn't going to work out for the Thunder. If you're an old OU women's basketball fan and you remember Courtney Paris back in the day,
yeah,
that's what Jokic looked like last night. He looked like Courtney Paris playing against Kansas State. You know, nobody's going to sit there and get the ball away from her. You might as well just let her score the first time. So, yeah, the rebounding, and I don't even know what anybody could do. I'm not really offering any suggestions. You know, they maybe block out better, but, you know, they were just more athletic and so much bigger that they were out of options, really.
The Nuggets took 19 more shots, and when that happens, you're gonna get outscored. Well, there's just no way to compete.
It's one thing to get an offensive rebound, but here let's see. There was one, two, three times in the first half. The Nuggets got three shots. It's one thing to get two shots. Three times they got three shots.
Jokic wasn't even leaving his feet. He was just like holding his arms.
No, he didn't have to jump. Yeah, of course, he hadn't jumped, I don't think, since he's 11 years old. So he's such an unbelievably good player and a unique player. But sometimes you forget until he's so skilled that's sort of what you focus on, the passing and the footwork and the shooting. Sometimes you forget just how big he is. I mean, he's bigger than a bread box. So, the Thunder had no hope. And I'm not even sure Al Horford. Horford would have been better on defense. I'm not sure Horford would have helped much on the rebounding because Al's not overly sized himself.
It would have helped just to have another big body just for that point alone, I think.
Yeah, and there's a player that could have played a little less who we generally like. I don't know that we've taken a major stance pro or con on this guy, but he played one of the worst NBA games I've ever seen anybody play. And that was Mike Muscala last night. I mean, Mike Muscala was just terrible, including his passing. I mean, just you wanted to stand up and cheer if he completed a pass.
Yeah.
You know, if the teammate he was throwing to actually caught the pass, you thought, hey, this is getting better, because he couldn't get a rebound.
He's usually very reliable and steady.
Yeah, he played 14 minutes last night and got zero rebounds. And he made one of three shots from deep. But he had two turnovers, and it could have been more. I don't know what was wrong with Mike Muscala last night. So when your centers are Isaiah Roby and Mike Muscala, and you're playing the Nuggets, it's a bad day at BlackRock. So, the good news is they played well for a quarter. They had a 31-23 lead with about, I don't know, probably 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes left in the first quarter. And, of course, from that point on until late in the third, or midway through the third, so we're talking – I bet we're talking 22 game minutes, maybe 21 game minutes. The Nuggets outscored the Thunder 87-51. Yeah. So that's really what the game was. That, you know, just when everybody was in tune and in sync and trying, the Nuggets had their way.
Yeah, the Thunder actually played good defense in the first quarter. The score was tied 31-31 just because of the offensive rebounds were killing them. But Denver shot 37% in the first, then 50% in the second, 56% in the third. They won the second and third quarter 66-43, went on all kinds of big runs. Jokic finished with he was 12 of 21, missed all four of his threes, but he had 27 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, a block, just – oh man, he's just so fun to watch. Like his passing, the angle of passes that he can make, his vision, him just sort of lumbering down the floor, looking totally unathletic, but making all kinds of magnificent plays. He's averaging a triple double, by the way. He did not have a triple double last night, but season averages 25.1 points. That's a career high by a long way. 11.4 rebounds and 10 assists. So I'm not saying he's going to average a triple-double, but he's going to be very close. And he's a legitimate MVP candidate if he keeps playing like that.
A great, great player is what – I mean, he's a superstar. He's on the A-list of superstars. I mean, he's not as good a player as LeBron James. But everybody else you want to name, in the league, I mean, he impacts a game as much as anybody, yeah. As much as Anthony Davis, as much as Kawhi Leonard, as much as Joel Embiid. I mean,
he's hard to compare because he's so different, too.
He is so different, and I guess his defense can be weak. The Thunder really wasn't in position to, you know, do anything about it, make it. Pay for that. A lot of teams are, so maybe that's his Achilles heel, and what keeps him out of the elite list, the ultimate list. But yeah, he's a fabulous player, and you know, he's got such a nose for the game and a feel for the game. You know, Gary Harris has been playing terrible this year, and he kept feeding Gary Harris for open threes. Harris ended up making 3 of 6, and I kept feeling, I don't know, maybe I'm making this up, but I kept thinking, this guy knows Gary Harris needs a lift, and he knows they're going to win this game no matter what. So yeah. let's get Gary Harris, you know, on the right track. And
yeah, Will Barton made a few threes.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Yeah. You know what? I didn't even remember Paul Millsap still on the team. I figured after last season, it was finally time to move on. But even he had a nice game. Now, the one guy did not have a nice game is the other Mr. Nugget, young Jamal Murray. Had 5 points, 2 of 10 shooting. He unfortunately came across the diabolical Lord Dort. And
someone on Twitter called him the Dortress, like Fortress. And I thought that was very good.
Lou Dort is such a fun player. Golly, and what a game he had. Too bad it was in a losing performance. But you hold one of the best offensive point guards in the league to 5 points. You score 20. You make 8 out of 11 out of your 3 misses from 3-point range. One of them was a desperation shot at the end of the quarter. So he really only misses two shots. He played fantastically.
Yeah.
Didn't have a turnover. And just he's turning into a ball player, for crying out loud.
He was easily the Thunder's best player. He was 8 of 11, 20 points, 3 of 6 from three-point range. Here's another crazy stat for you. Dort, in 36 games last year, made 33-pointers. And 30 total three-pointers in 36 games. This season, he's played 13 games and already has 31 three-pointers. He was a 30% three-point shooter last year. He's shooting 44%. And we keep – I mean, I feel like 2 weeks ago we said, oh, this isn't going to keep up. And I'm still not saying it's going to keep up, but he's shooting 44% through 13 games and is the team's best three-point shooter. And I'm still having trouble wrapping my brain around that and believing it's true, but it continues to be true.
Yeah, if you want to be a pessimist or a skeptic or whatever the case, or just a fuddy-dud, you can sit around and think, why couldn't the Thunder find this ace in the hole? Why couldn't this player fall on top of our head back when the Thunder was a contender? You know what?
Well, think how this guy fit on some of those teams.
In 2016? You know, Andre was out there playing great defense, but, you know, he didn't know what to do with the ball if you threw it to him. But that's a bad way to look at it, because that's true of about any enterprise. The good news is, he's still young. What's Dort, 21?
I think he's 21.
He's 21. He signed for 3 more years at for peanuts. And he's turning into a wonderful ball player. And so – you got him and SGA to build around, and that, to me, that's that's a good thing. Now, one other thing that sort of happened last night was at least a promising turn. Baisley played a little better, I thought. He made a few shots.
Yeah,
He started off a little shaky. I think he missed one. He was one of five.
He looked horrible early. He had a bad turnover. Yeah. Where he missed
the yes, shots. He did. He did. But then he started playing better. So maybe he's starting. You know who's not doing much? He played well for a week or two of the season. George Hill's just not doing much.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't really explain that. I don't want to try to get inside his head, but just playing on a team like this after playing for the Bucks last season, I imagine that has to be a pretty big adjustment. Now, they have been competitive. But could be him still trying to find his footing. Now, last year, he was a 46% three-point shooter. That was an outlier for sure. But, yeah, he's not really ever looking for his shot. I feel like he passes down open three-pointers.
Yeah, I do, too. So I don't know what's going on there. He didn't play terrible last night. Somebody did play terrible. I hate to bring it up, but somebody did play terrible.
Pokuševski.
Poku played terrible. That was his worst game. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, the battle for Serbia between Jokic and Pokuševski was fairly one-sided.
Yeah, I think it's my understanding that they don't show you a whole lot of the post game, but I think your good friend Jokic went straight for the exit when the game was over. He didn't want to be seen in the same, you know, maybe some Serbian photographer trying to catch a screenshot of the two of them together. I think I saw where he tweeted out that something about Poku's actually from Montenegro, I think is what Jokic tried to tell us. 0-7 shooting, 0-5 on three-pointers. I don't think any of them were close. He had 4 rebounds and 2 assists, but he had 3 turnovers. He just didn't look good at all. But, you know, that's just sort of the way it goes, I guess, with him.
The other day I did not to pick on Pokuševski too much. It is worth always remembering he's the youngest player in the NBA and he played in a very subpar league last year. But the other day I just looked at like 12 trends that stuck out through the Thunder's first 12 games. And I thought this one on Poku was interesting. Of 296 players who average at least 15 minutes per game, he's 295th in true shooting percentage. So one from the bottom. Only Drew Eubanks of the Spurs has been worse. When I wrote this, he was 14 of 52 overall, 6 of 31 from 3. Obviously, those numbers have only regressed. So he might be 296 in true shooting percentage, but he's literally been the worst off shooter in the league this year at that volume.
Yeah. He looks confident, and then the ball starts going towards the rim, and you realize this said, you know, it's like the time I tried to fly to Kansas City and they diverted us to Wichita. And I sort of realized in mid-flight, we're not going where we're supposed to be going. That's what his shots look like, the basketball. It's not going where it's supposed to be going. Let me tell you, somebody who did play good, I sort of feel like every time he plays, he makes a case for more minutes.
Isaiah Roby.
Well, not him too, him too. But Justin Jackson. Golly, he's out there like Clay Thompson. He shot the ball like he was Clay Thompson. And with the confidence of Clay Thompson. And you, and I follow you, still do. So before the year, you thought he's probably going to start at...
I picked him as a starting three. Yeah.
And you know what? I've got no problem with starting lineup, but he sure looks like a guy that can play, especially for this team. What do you think's going on there?
I don't know. I mean, Justin Jackson's had a weird career. So he's the 15th overall pick in 2017. First year in Sacramento, he shoots 31% from 3-point range. The next year, 36%. And then he just totally regresses last year with the Mavericks. So he shot 29% from 3-point range, 40% from the field, only played 16 minutes per game after playing 22 as a rookie. And now he's down to 13 minutes per game, has only played in 5 games with 1 start. So he's shooting 21% from 3. So he has not shot well. That includes last night. So I don't know. I think I was way too high on Justin Jackson. I don't really think we can glean much from last night. I don't think that was a bad pick on my part. I thought they would bring George Hill off the bench to begin the year. My projection was Shea, Dort, Jackson, Bazley, and Horford. And then it came clear from the preseason that Jackson was not going to be a part of the rotation.
Yeah, I don't know. But he sure played good last night. I will say that. I'll say that.
The one thing, if you play for Mark Daigneault and you play for the rebuilding Thunder, you are going to get your chances, really, no matter what the score was. Last night was a little different because it was so out of hand that there was a lot of garbage time minutes. Both of the Thunder's two-way players scored 6 points. Josh Hall did some things. Moses Brown. Hall had a nice and one. Daigneault said after the game that it's been a hard year for him. Didn't play college basketball. Was a fifth-year prep guy, and then shortened training camp this season. So everything like that. But I don't know. Got some major Justin Jackson, Josh Hall, Moses Brown. We saw the rarest thing of all, and that was Darius Miller minutes. Those are hard to come by.
Yeah, I got it. Can I come? To me, these podcasts need to be the table of truth. And you got to come clean. I spent about 2 minutes after number 12 checked into the game without going to like an internet roster or anything, but just studying and looking for the name on the back of the jersey, thinking, now, who is number 12? Because I know they're trying to add another two-way player by league rules, but they'd already used their two-way players, so I didn't have a two-way. So who is number 12? I thought, this is ridiculous. Who's number 12? And then, of course, I figured out it's Darius Miller. Kenrich Williams only played 6 minutes and
that was strange.
Wasn't it the Chicago game? Wasn't that the where he played so fabulous?
Yeah. He was in the closing lineup in place of
Bates. Yeah, that's right. He played like 30 minutes or something. Then goes 6 minutes against Nuggets. Of course, you know, I don't know that he's a rebounding whiz. He didn't have any last night in 6 minutes. And everything last night, anytime the game was still a game, any decision made had to be about who can go grab the rebound. I remember this reminds me of a sixth or seventh grade basketball. Our school was so big, they had two teams, had to split up into two teams. So we had two sixth grade teams, seventh grade teams. And one of our seventh grade team, we were really good. We had a guy that Bo Overton ended up playing point guard for OU, started for 3 years. So we were really good. But we played I think we lost two games in 2 years, but one of the games we lost, we played somebody and they just had a bunch of big guys and we was having trouble getting a rebound. And we had this kid, a nice fella, friend of mine, big tall kid named Leroy Beals, but Leroy never got to play. He never really had played basketball, didn't have any skills. But coach got so frustrated, he put old Leroy in the game, and Leroy got in there and bounced around with these guys and grabbed a few rebounds. And the next day at practice, the two teams were coming together. So each team supplied six players. You're taking six players and go play a tournament. So coach said, well, the guys going to the tournament are the five starters and Leroy Beals. So I thought of Leroy last night thinking,
the Thunder,
it's too bad old Dagno doesn't have Leroy Beals. So he just go in there and doesn't have to do anything except grab the ball when it comes off the rim. Can somebody do that?
Well, it was interesting because Moses Brown got a tiny bit of playing time in the first quarter. Yeah. I thought he was going to play more just as a humongous body to get in there and get some rebounds.
Yeah, but then he committed the unpardonable sin. He goes out there and fouls DJ Dozier, I think. Was it DJ? I think it's DJ. Last play of the first quarter. Yeah, Greg Brown got Moses Brown gets first quarter playing time.
Yeah.
And then they throw the ball to DJ Dozier as the clock's about to expire in the first quarter. Brown runs out there and fouls him on a three-point shot, for crying out loud.
Former Thunder number 35, PJ Dozier. Yes.
You know, I don't know if we didn't have the three-point shot in 1973. I don't know if Leroy Beals would have committed that crime, but if he had, maybe he wouldn't have got to go to the tournament.
Since we're talking about some guys who are far down the roster, I've gotten a couple of emails in recent days about Ty Jerome and Trevor Ariza, and just wanted to clear things up there. Ariza, nothing has changed. I don't think anything will change at all. I don't think Trevor Ariza is ever going to report to the Thunder. The Thunder is okay. The Thunder is okay with that. The Thunder is rebuilding. Trevor Ariza might be able to help you a little bit, and he takes away minutes of a younger guy. So Ariza is out for personal reasons, and he's good with that. The Thunder is good with that. If Ariza wants to play basketball again, the Thunder will probably orchestrate some sort of trade or buyout. Jerome, he must have a pretty severe ankle sprain because last year he missed first 18 games of his rookie season with a right ankle sprain. He's missed all of this season with a left ankle sprain. He's not with the team on the road trip, which means he's going to miss the next four games for sure. So Ty Jerome, the only actual player they still have from the Suns trade. I know this is riveting analysis, but Barry, anything, any more thoughts that I missed on Ariza or Ty Jerome?
No, other than, you know, a lot of talk about the Thunder. You know, Portland's sort of scrambling here because they've not been as good as they were hoping. And now McCollum is hurt and Nurkic is hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're looking, you know, who plays Nurkic positions? Al Horford. Who plays C.J. McCollum's position? George Hill.
Yeah.
Two guys you really – now, you know, can you trade those guys to Portland? The answer is probably not because of the money. You know, Portland's capped out. But, you know, Trevor Ariza's a guy that could help somebody.
He was with Portland last year.
And he played in Portland last year. So at some point, you'd sort of think somebody might you know, take a plunge on those guys, including Trevor Ariza. But, you know, it's a case of probably somebody would have to have a trade exception and be needing to use it. But, no, you know, I don't think he wants to be here, and so the Thunder doesn't want him here. So
the Thunder is not upset, by the way, at this.
No. In fact, they're sort of pleased. Yes. They're sort of pleased by it. It helps them. Thank you. They sent him a thank you card. And besides, they can't find playing time for Justin Jackson, who's raining three-pointers. And so why would you need Trevor Ariza? We have not mentioned one play. Okay. Let's see.
Let me see.
There's about three players we have not mentioned.
We've not mentioned
from last night's game. Teo, and he played just okay. Nothing special.
Teo is one of them.
We have, and we didn't mention Hamidou Diallo, who was, you know, not been as quite as spectacular as he was. I'm afraid this is, it's a New York thing. I think it's a New York thing.
He had one, did not play well, but had one magnificent sequence. He basically got stuffed at the rim, went back, collected his own rebound, drove right back in there, got fouled and won. It was like the classic Hamidou Diallo play.
You know, Hamidou does not, he does not attempt a ton of passes. Does anybody notice that?
Yeah,
I don't mean I don't mean assists. I'm not counting assists. I'm counting passes.
I have
you know what? I remember this is years ago, back when the Thunder. I don't know when this was, 12 or 14. Thunder was young. They were great, but they were young, and they'd get into funks. They went up to Denver and got beat in a close game, and they had a lead, but it sort of dwindled. And I went back and looked at it. And it just seemed like the game dissolved into one-on-one play with Westbrook and Durant. I went back and looked at it, and in the last 8 minutes of the game, I think the Thunder made two passes beyond midcourt. I'm not talking about assists. We're not talking assists. We're talking pass. They passed the ball twice in 8 minutes. And you know what? That sometimes happens with Hamidou Diallo. When he gets it, it tends to get driven into the lane, and then whatever happens is going to happen. But
his eyes are pretty locked on the rim.
Yeah, yeah. He's focused. He's focused.
I will say,
okay, we have,
he has been a better play. In his defense, he has been a little bit of a better playmaker this year. And it's part of his game.
Yeah, he's not. He's helped them, and he's actually helped his own stock as well as helping the team, I think. So that's good. Okay. We have literally named – I'm looking at the guys on this roster.
You've named every Thunder player.
No, there's one guy we have not mentioned. We have not – we've talked about
– We've not mentioned their best player.
We have not mentioned their best player. We have not talked about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He has not been on their lips since this podcast started. SGA. And that's because he didn't play that well, I think. He didn't shoot enough. He's 5-of-11. He needed to be more assertive. He had 7 assists, but he also had 4 turnovers. I thought he had a very shaky floor game. I didn't think he was very careful with the ball. He was a team worst, minus 19 in the plus minus. So not a great game for SGA, but he played spectacularly the previous game. So, you know, we cut him some slack.
Yeah. I mean, he is at the point where, you know, you look at – I know – simple stat lines don't tell the whole story, but when he goes like 14-7-5, which is what he did against the Nuggets, like that's not a very good game for him. So tells you what his status is now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what surprised me? How little George Hill has run the point in sort of in relief of SGA, just to give him a break. Let SGA play off the ball. SGA's not playing off the ball. He's on the ball.
Yeah, and when in that second unit, it's, you know, Maladone primarily, but Diallo will run point as well sometimes. Hill is almost getting no time it.
Yeah, and that to me, that's interesting since last year, you know, SGA had such little time on the ball at the point with Schroeder and CP, and he played quite a bit for the Clippers. So
it was like 6 minutes last year with Cam.
I think in the long term, it's probably good because I think he does need needs a lot of time playing the point. That's what he's going to be. That's what he is. So it's generally good, probably just not real good for the immediate success of this team. And frankly, you don't want this team to be overly successful.
Yeah.
So it probably works out just fabulous every which way.
Yeah, it was a rough night for the Kentucky guards, the star Kentucky guards on both teams. I thought I know we talked about Dort a little bit, but I basically asked this question to Mark Daigneault last night because it's almost like, I don't want to say we're getting numb to it, but Dort is fantastic defensively almost every night now. And when he shuts down, like, who makes Jamal Murray go 2-of-10? And Jamal Murray got so upset at one point, he just plowed through Dort on an inbounds pass, and I don't think it was really a flop. I think he actually bowled Dort over, but how many people are going to be watching the Thunder, but I think he is making a legitimate early case to be on an all-defense team.
Yeah, and you know what? He made Zach Lowe's 10 things.
Zach Lowe loves Dort, yeah.
And last week it was, I think. So that'll get him some national props. So, you know, that's I think he is. And then here's the other thing about making all defense. They often like to give the all defense to guys who can play a little bit better on offense. You know, they don't want to give it to a total nothing burger on offense. Lou Dort is no longer a nothing burger on offense. So that's good. That's good.
When you said there's two guys we haven't mentioned, I thought you were going to switch things up on me and talk about two Nuggets, because I think these are sort of novelty players that are very fun to watch. One, Campazzo from Argentina. He's 29. He's listed at like 5'10", but he looked like he was like 5'4" out there.
He did look like that. I never heard of the guy. He's from Egypt?
No, Argentina.
Oh, Argentina. Argentina. Is he a rookie?
Yeah, he's a rookie.
He's a 29-year-old rookie?
Yeah, like think of like, you know, Pablo Prigioni or like Teodosic, some of those who come over later. But and then Bol Bol. We had some Bol Bol versus Pokuševski minutes, and Bol made Poku look small, which is like crazy to think about.
Yeah, Bol and made him look short and thick.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we talk about what a string bean Poku is. Look at Bol Bol. Yeah, it seemed like Bol Bol a year ago or a year, you know, in October. There was all kinds of excitement about it.
He got the buzz in the bubble.
Yeah, people saying, oh, look at this guy, look at this guy, look at this guy. You know, he's not even playing, so I don't know what to make of that. The Nuggets are not as deep as they were.
And they were missing Porter.
Yeah, maybe that makes up for it. Yeah, maybe that makes up for it. PJ Dozier got a lot of rub, still wearing number 35.
Yeah. Jermichael Green is the new Jeremy Grant.
I don't like Jermichael Green compared to Jeremy Grant, but let me tell you who I do like.
Monte.
I like Monty Morris.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Do I like Monty Morris? Man, when's everybody going to wise up? And just, if there's an Iowa State point guard on the draft board, just take him, Don't even send it. Just, you don't even have scout. If there's just one shows up and it's your time to pick, that's who you take. Just make it a rule in your organization. He's a wonderful player.
Yeah.
7 of 11 last night, had 15 points, plus 22. Anytime your plus minus is bigger than your minutes, you've had a good game. And that's what he did last night. So
the Nuggets now have a better record than the Thunder, and it is crazy to think that the Thunder had a better record than like when you see these two teams on the floor together and how much better the Nuggets are, it's like how are these records the way that they were? Yeah.
How is this possible? The Thunder's about to slip down. I mean, this is not going to go well, this road trip. Two with the Clippers, then Portland, then Phoenix.
I think Portland is the only possible win, just given all their injuries. But I don't know how they beat the Clippers or the Suns, really.
Yeah, I don't.
Probably a one.
It's the Clippers. I got a question for you. This is a question that the Thunder is playing the Clippers on Friday and Sunday, both at L.A. So back-to-back, not back-to-back games, not back-to-back nights.
Right.
And then they have a Sunday with Clippers, and then they go to Portland on Monday. Why wouldn't you just have made that a Friday-Saturday series and then give the Thunder, you know, the travel day? I didn't understand that. Unless the 3 o'clock tip-off on a Sunday is tied in with international telecasts of some kind.
Yeah.
Sometimes they like to put some day games with marquee teams because it helps with the European audience. You know, the Clippers now will be, what is it? I think it's 6 hours, I think. So you could watch, if you're in England, you could watch the Clippers at 9 o'clock. So, which is a decent hour. So maybe that's what it is, but I didn't understand why you wouldn't just go back to back in LA and then give them the travel day to Portland.
I actually just looked to – I know this is unlikely, but I was looking to see if the Lakers maybe had a home game in between. Totally unrelated to our Thunder Buddies podcast. But the Lakers are about to go on a 7-game road trip.
Really?
That's pretty – from January 21st to February 1st. So.
Is that when the Grammys were scheduled? Maybe that's when the Grammys were scheduled. Yeah.
So, but anyway, the Thunder has been on back-to-back – or not back-to-back, but, you know, they had a 5-game road trip, then a 4-game homestand. The last one got postponed, obviously, and then another 5-game road trip. So seeing a lot of that to sort of, you know, cut down on the amount of trips, basically.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, that wasn't a very good game. Maybe the next one will be better for the Thunder.
And we will be back with you then. The Thunder plays the Clippers, like we talked about, on Friday and Sunday. So thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Thunder Buddies podcast, and we will see you on Friday.